One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on the Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. He's Mo Tequil. We have Andrew Sluck producing. We're going to get right to the game of the night, which no, is not what you expected. It was Utah beating the New Orleans Pelicans 132-129 in a battle of the Western Conference Titans. And this one starts at the end with Mike Conley missing two free throws. It was a rough night in the box score, but he made up for it on the other end.
I mean, Conley was awesome, man. I think, you know, rough night in the box score, but he's one of the heroes of this game, Jared. He comes up with big defensive stops. You know, after missing those free throws, the Pelicans call a timeout, down by three, trying to get a play in. He pokes the ball out of bounds, forcing them to have to run another sideline out of bounds, but this time in the deep corner. And he pokes the ball out of bounds again when they're trying to get it to CJ. And then the next time when they finally do get the ball inbounded, he's all in CJ. And then once, by the time he gives up, he switches with Clarkson. Clarkson's all over CJ McCollum. And, you know, for a moment, it looked like CJ did have a chance at a wide open three, but just missed it really short. I mean, really impressive across the board. And I was just blown away by the Jazz tonight.
I mean, they were so much fun. Walker Kessler was playing great defense. Clarkson shot absolutely lights out. He was 15 for 26 and had 39 points. Like, really nice bounce back after he had a rough game before that. And then Markkanen was just attacking all night.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, the Pelicans really kind of struggled, especially in the first quarter. Like, in the first quarter, it looked like, oh, the Jazz might kind of get going. Clarkson hit 17 of his points right then and there in the first quarter. They battled back towards the end of that quarter from the Pelican side. And then it looked like the Pelicans were kind of going to take over this game. And then the Jazz didn't quit, dude. It was pretty amazing to watch. It would be the Pelicans would go up 10 and the Jazz would come back and tie it. And then the Pelicans would go up 8 and the Jazz would come back and tie it or take a 1-point lead. It was a really fun back and forth, you know, down the stretch. And, you know, a lot of heroes for the Jazz. I mean, you mentioned Walker Kessler. Markkanen was awesome. Conley down the stretch with some big, big plays. Clarkson down the stretch making some big shots. Like, it was pretty impressive across the board. Even Kelly Olynyk was all over the place defensively.
That's right. Olynyk had a nice one. I mean, this was a double-digit lead for New Orleans in the kind of late-ish third quarter. And that Jazz second unit came in, and they actually took the lead, I think, like within 3 minutes. It was a great run. And then when New Orleans pushed back, they made that run again. They just kept making those full runs over and over and over again.
Yeah, they had no quit. And something that should be mentioned too is they beat the crap out of the Pelicans a few nights ago. And then they were able to kind of come back and to win this game is a huge win for the Jazz. You know, it's tough to beat a team two times in a row. And to do it after you blew them out and then to come back and kind of handle your business in OT, you walk away from this game very impressed with the Jazz.
And New Orleans, definitely some bright spots there. It wasn't like it was a terrible game for them. Zion was super aggressive attacking. There's probably like a little bit more to be desired about him being able to finish consistently at the end of the game. But he had 30 points, hit half his shots. He had 8 assists. I mean, he kind of did everything for them.
Yeah, I just think the honest truth is I think he just kind of ran out of gas. Played 41 minutes tonight in a game that went 53 minutes. Like, that's a lot. And I think down the stretch and, you know, obviously all of overtime, it got to him. And I think it sort of just kind of wore him down. And credit the Jazz. They got a lot of size. I don't think we kind of mention it as often as we do, but, like, they got enough guys that could bang with him and slowly kind of wear him down. I thought Kessler down the stretch did a great job of meeting him at the rim and constantly being vertical. I think they slowly kind of got to him, and I think that got to his legs because he couldn't finish anything down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you just saw every time he had to go to the rim at the end of the game, there was just always a hand above him. And I feel like the late games, a lot of the time, everyone's a little gassed and he can just barrel through everybody, but Utah just did not let him through at the end.
Yeah, I mean, they were just all over the place. And I think that kind of put the pressure on CJ to create everything, you know, especially in overtime. And I think that's what led to some of the challenges that they had kind of going forward with everything. And I mean, listen, big game for them. No, another game without Brandon Ingram. They got Herb Jones back, and he looked pretty good. But, you know, it's tough, man. This is a tough ass league, and I don't think people understand it. And the Jazz are a good team. I think we've talked about them all the time being the surprise team. I think the jokes now of like Danny's going to trade all these guys, that's not going to be the case.
You may be a buyer at this rate. You never know with Danny. But, hey, they're only 3.5 games out of first place, although that team is not the Pelicans. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we get there, let's talk about Miami outlasting Houston. They won 111-108. They were leading for pretty much this entire period, but it got tight at the end.
Yeah, I mean, another team, like, first off, Houston's playing a lot better the past few weeks than they were at the start of the season. You can kind of see in the way they're playing. You know, Jalen Green had a monster third quarter, and I think he kind of just disappeared a little bit down the stretch. We should also mention that he didn't have Kyle Lowry or Bam Adebayo. So a little bit of a struggle there, but didn't matter. They had Tyler Hero tonight, and he was cooking, Jared.
41 points, 13 for 20 shooting, 10 for 15 from deep. He just kept heat checking, and every time it was Miami heating.
Yeah, no, I mean, it worked. He was kind of just on a roll. He was in a perfect groove. We obviously know perimeter defense, not so much the Rockets' forte, I think, you know, and once he kind of found his rhythm, it became very difficult for them to stop him. I believe it's a career high for him, 41 points tonight. Big, important win for the Heat. I don't want to say big win, but they need to start racking up wins, whether they have guys in the lineup or not. And this was a good one without Bam, without Lowry kind of getting that going. And then Jimmy just kind of being the stabilizing force for them.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much new to say there, but Jimmy just, there were those moments in the fourth quarter where they weren't getting the offensive movement they needed. And he would just draw five guys into the paint and kick it out, find an open shooter. He was really creating everything.
Yeah. And I think that's an important, you know, distinction. Like, that's the hard stuff for him with no Lowry and things. He's got to do all of that. That's the heavy lifting he has to carry throughout the course of the game in that instance. And, you know, it's a good win for them to pull that out without their two of their main guys. You're down two starters. You're probably not going to win a lot of games when you're down two starters.
And Houston, at the very end of this game, I thought this was interesting. Alperen Şengün, he hurts his ankle. Usman Garuba got called in. And I thought he gave some pretty impressive minutes. A guy that I, you know, haven't had a chance to see play a ton in the NBA, but I really enjoyed watching him play late in this one.
Oh no, like this was actually a good run for him down the stretch of this game. He's part of the reason why they made this a close game at the end. You know, there was it came down to a three at the down three. They had a chance and an opportunity there for the Rockets. A lot of that had to do with him. The box score doesn't say much, right? Just 2 points. He only took one shot. But he was plus 12. He had 9 rebounds. He was keeping the ball alive and kind of keeping it going and giving them great hustle. Like, this was some nice, encouraging minutes here for the Rockets. If you're looking at it going like, oh, Garuba, man, looked pretty solid for us.
He actually had the highest plus minus in the entire game, one ahead of Orlando Robinson, who played 36 minutes in this game because Udonis Haslem started at the five. I mean, what a treat it is that it's almost 2023 and Udonis Haslem is still starting an NBA game.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I don't have anything else to say, Jared. Just, you know, Udonis playing 11 minutes in an NBA game right now is something else.
I mean, it makes me wonder how many assistant coaches in the NBA could actually suit up right now if he's doing it.
It's a good question. There's a lot of former players, though, and some of them have kept themselves in good shape.
Well, any former film experts working for NBA teams that you know of that could get a couple minutes out there?
I sure as hell couldn't.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Well, another team that couldn't play tonight was Milwaukee. They just got destroyed right away by Memphis, who now leaps ahead of New Orleans to take first place in the West. Memphis won 142-101. Honestly, that almost makes it seem closer than it really was. The Grizzlies had five players in double figures coming off the bench. I don't think I've ever seen that. I'm sure it's happened before, but I don't think I've ever seen that happen before.
Yo, the Grizzlies jumped them literally from the start. Like, this game was over once the ball was tipped. The Grizzlies played fast. They pushed the pace. They were getting into the paint over and over again. They were out-rebounding the Bucks early on. Everything that they did was pure just gold. It was a very impressive performance from them and a really disappointing one from the Bucks. Like, this is one of the games I thought, like, yo, this is going to be a great game tonight. Like, we might get some real good stuff. This game was over within the first 6-7 minutes.
It was. I mean, this was it was an 18-8 game 5 minutes into it. And then it was like double that lead pretty soon out thereafter. What's really interesting is just looking at the lead tracker, this game was like very consistently just getting bigger and bigger and bigger lead. Milwaukee never really pushed back. They had like one little bit of a push right before they took the starters out in the middle of the third quarter, and they never came back in. Like, all the starters were pulled in middle of the third and they were done. Giannis only played 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was Bud understanding, hey, we don't got it tonight. We got another game coming up in 2 days. No need to try and force ourselves to have to expend all of this energy for a game in which we were down 40 at one point. There's no reason at that point to try to stress Giannis, stress Brooke, Middleton coming back from an injury. I know they didn't have Holiday, but no reason to kind of go all out.
You know, they ended up being down 50 by the early fourth quarter. And so on the Memphis side, I mean, Ja was just amazing attacking. Dylan Brooks, I thought, had a really nice game playing in transition. Steven Adams was great right at the beginning. He had five blocks. It didn't even seem like the game mattered after 10 minutes. But Memphis was just their energy in transition and their ability at the rim, really on both ends. It just dominated this game so fast.
I mean, 27 fast break points. Like, this is Memphis. Like, they were playing at a breakneck speed. And the Bucks simply couldn't keep up, which is interesting because you would think, all right, you have Giannis, an up and down game. Giannis might be able to make up some of the difference. But the other guys could not keep up with the Grizzlies, and they were flying, Jared. And on top of that, knocking down threes. I mean, it pretty impressive. And the funny thing is, Ja didn't have a great shooting night. 9-21 from the field, 2-8 from three. Like, it's not the best shooting night. He obviously finished with a triple-double with 10 rebounds and 10 assists. But I think you're watching it going like, man, it could have even been worse for the Bucks.
He did miss shots, but only one turnover. And at the pace that he plays, that's always impressive. And at the pace that we do this show, it's impressive we even make it to the end. So that's going to do it. He's Bo DeKeel. I'm Jared Weiss. Andrew Select is our producer. We'll see you next time on The Ding.
Ding, ding.